I knew that they didn't like defectors very much. As a matter of fact, they assassinated some of them.
Welcome back to Living Life in the Shadows, Secrets of the Undercover Spy with Charmaine Tan. Let's pick up right where Jack Barsky left us.
I had nothing but good things waiting for me in Germany, but this is where I come up with it, with that quote that people say, love conquers all. I loved this girl so much that I took the risk and I stayed. Yeah, it worked out.
That's a powerful story. I mean, it takes a lot of courage as well to do what you do because it's a lot of risk to both sides, right? How did that end up for you in the end? Like, did you have to communicate back to them that you were, or did you just cut?
No, I had to. They were very insistent. They sent a signal. That's what the danger signal was, a red dot on a steel beam that said only one thing: get out, danger. Okay, and I ignored that. Then they gave me in a shortwave radio transmission. They said, you know, we have reason to believe that you are about to be arrested. I ignored that too. But then somebody actually. They broke the rule. Somebody actually approached me. I was waiting for the subway, and it was still dark in the morning. He came over from the side, and he whispered into my ears, "You got to come home, or else you're dead." Now, that was most likely bad English. He probably meant to say, "Or else you're busted," you know, something like that. But you know, you have to take it seriously too. And so now that we had direct communication, I couldn't stall anymore.
Yeah, and, because they're watching you and they know your location and your every move.
Yeah, so I wrote them my last letter in secret writing, telling them, I know I'm in trouble here, but I can't come. I have HIV/AIDS.
Okay.
That was brilliant. Because in that time frame, HIV/AIDS was a death sentence.
Right.
There was no cure, and it was highly infectious. And the last thing that they would want in the Soviet Union is somebody with an infectious disease. So they believed me. They had no reason.
They didn't verify.
Huh?
They didn't verify.
No, they have no reason to even verify that because they didn't know about the girl. Okay.
Yeah. Oh,
they know that I couldn't wait to come home.
Ah, I see.
They had given me the second highest decoration of the Soviet Union the year before. I mean, I would have.
You have been welcome with open arms, red carpet rolled out for you.
I was in the highest regard, and the other thing that they knew about me. That I was always honest, because sometimes I admitted a mistake that only I knew.
Okay.
So in my file says, brutally honest, can't be trusted completely. So.
Oh dear, and then after that they let you go, but years down the line, and now you've gone public with your story. Is there something that, you know, sometimes you're wondering if there's any repercussions to that, or is it because the leadership has changed?
This is an old story. I don't think there's anybody alive anymore who has a personal problem with me. You know, some of the people that trained me, they would think, you know, who they might think I personally betrayed them. And it's very important that I'm not a Russian. I wasn't a Soviet citizen, so I didn't betray the motherland. Okay, as a German. So, and you know, the FBI agrees with this reasoning. Clearly, if you offered me $10 million, I would not visit Moscow.
I think the fact that you served for like so many years, right? And then after that, it's time you've moved on. You've, you know, your family as well, and then you know. A different life. How, if you talk about like now, you know, the difference that, because back then you were undercover, you might not be very comfortable living in a country knowing that you have different identities, but now that there is that so-called freedom, because you are able to stay true to your identity now, how does that view? How does it translate? Is there a massive difference?
Well, first of all, I must tell you that, you know, it's the exact opposite of being undercover, because I'm on stage a lot. I give talks, right?
That's true. Different lives.
I'm being interviewed by people like you many times, and interviewed on cable news. You know, when the war in Ukraine broke out, I was on cable news quite a bit.
Yeah, I would imagine.
So that's different. But what makes and you almost, I think you already hinted at it. I was able to combine the German and the American, and I now really know who I am, and that makes me a better person to be with, to talk to interact with, because I'm very certain of myself now. I'm not acting, and I kind of like myself. It took a long time, and it's good if you like yourself. This is not that's not egomaniacal. It's like, if you don't like yourself, you can't make yourself liked by others.
That's true. Yeah, I believe that. And I think it's very powerful when you have such a certainty about your sense of identity as well. And it starts with yourself. You need to know who you are, and you need to like yourself, as you say. And then people will be drawn to that, right? Yeah. Amazing story.
I'm now aggressively seeking to talk to other people all the time, which was not the case in the past. It freed me. It took time. You know, when I lost my last job, which was 7 years ago, after the 60 Minutes, I said, well, what do I do? Okay, I write a book and then I go speaking. And I had no idea that whether that was going to work or not, but it did work. And so now that I was forced to live a public life, that changed everything. And then I'm so glad it happened that way. I'm very happy with the way my life turned out. And, you know, I'm now living the best time of my life at my age.
Yes, and being able to impart lessons as well to different industry sectors, to different countries, and also, you know, that sense of wanting to be in community and give back to community. I think that's really, really powerful.
You're a very smart young lady. What do you do for a living?
What I do for a living? Uh-huh. I wear a lot of different hats. But yes, I'm a chief growth officer at a cybersecurity company. So I do work with a lot of ethical hackers. Okay.
So I was a chief information officer. So I'm also very much aware of what's going on in the cyber world. You know, I manage people like that. So that's where the smart people go.
and they have to be very adaptable, because it has changed so fast, right?
Yes.
Just a few years. And speaking of that, right, you know, just wonder if you can help connect the lessons that you have taken over the years, because we now face a lot of risk in the digital age. And if you can help the listeners connect the dots to the psychology of you know, the insider threat, because you have lived it out, and give examples of, you know, how actually easy it is to manipulate that human condition, right?
Yes.
Likewise, we can learn how we can influence it in a positive way as well to build a healthy security culture.
Yes, you're 100% right. And you know as well as I do that the majority of the breaches are caused by human error. And very often it's not purposely. It's like people just do stupid things. In the United States, population is the majority of us are not really well trained in cyber hygiene, how to behave when you are on the web, particularly. They do all kinds of stupid things. They click on this and even like if you get a suspect email and there's an unsubscribe down there, don't click on that. Okay. Yeah. And if you get an email from your boss that's and you're an accountant and it says please send $5 million to this customer of ours, you know, they overpaid us, you better call the boss and ask him if he sent the email. Phishing. I'm spoofing. You know, I fell for one the other day. That lady was produced an avatar by ChatGPT. She represents a real person because they're sort of Microsoft is testing this out. But the first contact that came to me from was done by the avatar, and the writing was a little bit odd, but I did not realize that this was an avatar. The lady then stepped in and told me.
Well,
yes, we can talk about cybersecurity also. I think
We can go on for hours. And it's not just how do I put it? It's not just affecting one country. I mean, the stories you told, there's so many of this as well. We see in Australia and in other parts of Asia, and many intelligent people are also falling sometimes prey to this. About what can we, maybe the cybersecurity leaders do to try and influence the culture within the organization a bit differently, looking at the human element, what would your advice be?
I'm pessimistic because to educate an entire nation would take either government or the big cyber companies, the big companies in
collaboration IT. Within private and public sector.
Government has no incentive of doing this because it would put a burden on people. People won't like it. Don't do this. Don't do that. This takes a little longer, and the tech companies would lose customers if it makes it harder. Right. So they have no incentive. It's not going to happen. You know, you can do this only on a smaller scale. For instance, I'm going to be 2 days from now, I'm going to be in Las Vegas, where we have a customer. It's Honeywell. They produce a lot of weapons, and we educate some of the Honeywell employees.
Yeah.
And it's like a 3-day event. That works, but overall, the majority of the population, particularly young people, my 12-year-old has an iPhone, but we sort of worked with her a little bit, and we gave her some ideas what not to do. But most of them, the parents don't even know. So, and the school store.
Yeah, I was thinking, you hit a nail on the head. To the influence at a wider scale, you definitely need, it's not an individual's task. We need the collaboration of like the entire ecosystem. But then where we can make a difference is, as you say, you know, looking at your immediate sphere of influence, and then you start from there. What can you do to help raise awareness? And the more you speak about it as well, the more people hear about it, they become very mindful of the different vectors, right, of the threat hunters or threat actors can actually come in. So and then going into the families as well, that's important, because next generation, the youth, the true children, they are vulnerable and they need the guidance also of the adults, the parents. So it definitely starts with your sphere of influence, and you're doing what you can to spread the message. So that brings me to my final question is, you know, about talking about your book then, Undercover, what inspired you to write it? You know, what lessons do you hope the readers can take away from that?
Oh, well, lessons, not so much, because this is just a story of my life and how I overcame things. But in my talks, I have this one talk where I'm actually showing people that things that I learned as a spy helped me have a phenomenal career in corporate management and, you know, working with people and so forth. Listen to the title of the presentation. It's called Applied Spycology.
Ooh.
Pretty good, huh?
Applied Spycology. Love that.
The book is a good read. It's very entertaining, and it reads, and I've been told many times, it reads like a novel, because what's in there, there's so many things going on. I never went a straight line from here to there. There was always this zigzag and a lot of coincidences. a couple of dumb things where I got away with mistakes that I made. You know, it's all honest. But ultimately, the one lesson that I want to stick is that the love lesson. Love is my favorite word now.
Wow. I've never thought that we will end with this. Talking to an undercover sleeper agent, became an American citizen with such fascinating stories, a powerful lesson to share, and your number one lesson to end off with is about the power of love. I really, really enjoyed that. And thank you so much for your time, Jack. Like, it's been a pleasure having you on our podcast and sharing your knowledge.
Let me finish this up with one thing. You're not just smart, you're wise.
Okay. Wow, that's a fantastic compliment.
No, you have a very, as a technician, you have a wider view than most people. With the stuff that you talked about, how you connect everything, you're gonna go far.
Thank you so much for that.